This is the aquaponics fish tank. It's 9,500 litres. It's got, at the moment, about 140 rainbow trout, starting from about 220 a month or so ago. We've been harvesting them.
Gordon Garrard and his partner, Heather Mullane, love to eat fish. Rainbow trout's a favourite. The only trouble is they live near Tamworth in northwest of New South Wales, where temperatures can easily soar into the high 30s, a long way from the cold rivers and lakes you'd usually find these freshwater fish. Not to be deterred, they've set up a special aquaponic system to keep the trout happy and cool all year round.
It's a large, low-profile water tank, and we've got a surrounding of gravel for a bit more insulation, and on top of that we've got some succulent plants growing and some vines growing around the outside for shading to keep it a bit cooler in summer.
Hello, I'm Lisa Herbert. Heather and Gordon are establishing what they call a sustainable plot of paradise on their property here at Loombra, about 20 minutes drive from Tamworth. The trout, or more specifically, the fish poo, plays a big role in the success of this integrated system. The nutrient-rich water is used to irrigate a series of up to 30 organic garden beds, known as grow beds, containing a huge variety of fruits and vegetables. The plants extract the water and nutrients they need to grow, cleaning the water before it's pumped back up the steep hill to the fish tank again.
Next to the tank there's a drum, which is a filter, which collects some of the fish poo, and that gets diverted to another tank, which circulates through some wicking beds. And we've got lots of things growing in that, such as beans and corn and sunflowers, zucchini, cucumbers, finger limes, that sort of thing. The water that gets circulated to that system is sort of separated from the main system and circulates separately. But the water that's had the fish poo removed from it grows through some other gravel grow beds. And we've had a good crop of broccoli, cabbages, corn, all sorts of things, and rhubarb, and that circulates down into a sump tank from where it gets pumped back up to the fish tank. About once every hour, it runs for 7 minutes and flushes the water out. We're going to add some more grow beds at this stage across over there. It's a bit tricky on the slope of a hill, so
there is quite a gradient.
Yeah. Ideally, you'd have it on flat land, but we don't really have any of that here. Everything's on the side of the hill, so I had to allow for that in the design of the system, suitable size pumps to pump enough water. It's about 5 metres head from the sump tank up to the fish tank.
That's fairly considerable. Let's talk about the fish tank and the insulation. Obviously, to maintain a temperature is pretty important.
Yeah, the rainbow trout are really a cold water fish, and we're not really in a cold climate here. So what a lot of people do is grow rainbow trout over winter. But with the use of some insulation and a water chiller, which is the vice over on the side there, we're able to keep them over summer when the water might get a bit too warm. Ideally, I try and keep it below about 20 or 21 degrees, and they're fine at that.
Now, the pumps, the water chiller, all I can see are solar panels down that hill.
Yeah, it's all powered on solar power. We're not connected to the grid at all here, so everything's done with solar. There's water pumps, air pumps, there's backup pumps in case the main ones fail. That's very important with trout because they've got a high demand for oxygen.
Do they do that all day?
Yeah, they splash the fish splash around all day. I've got to put the cover over in case they jump out. I had one standing here with a handful of food one day and one came flying past my shoulder.
Was he lunch or was he put back?
No, I caught him and put him. He was flapping around the ground down there and put him back in. But, yeah, they're a fairly lively fish.
The market for rainbow trout, what do you do with them apart from the 1.2 kilo fish that's in your freezer?
We eat most of them and just friends and family and things usually. We're not set up to sell commercially at this stage. The licensing fees are such that it discourages small producers. You know, you really need to be producing thousands of fish. Like, we may think about it if there's likely to be much demand around for it, but we're not doing it commercially at this stage. With this number, where you know, a few friends and family and things are very keen on them, so I think it gives us... We both like trout very much. It's much nicer than the commercial stuff we've bought. It's nice, fresh, clean taste. There's no sort of muddy texture about it that people often complain about with freshwater fish.
Gordon, when you harvest these trout?
Yeah, what we're doing these days is we hook them, scoop them out at night time with a large net just there, so they can't see the net coming. It's really difficult to catch them in the daytime, so we do it at night. We get a few in the net and just hold the net in the water. We'll get Heather to hold it in the water, so it's only a shallow amount there. And then I reach in and start tickling them.
Patting them,
and stroking them mainly under the tummy and just sort of tickle them a bit. And they go very calm and just sit there, and you can lift them out of the water and they don't struggle. And then I just give them a quick whack on the head with a rolling pin, and that finishes them off very stress-free. So that's the way we do them all now.
You ease them into a false sense of security by getting a tickle on the tummy.
Tickle and thump.